Good morning. Welcome on this very, very beautiful morning. Praise God for that. It's just a beautiful day. It's wonderful to gather here in His house on such a gorgeous morning. So today is a little brighter because we have come to worship the Lord together. May the music of our hymns and prayer bring peace of heart and mind to each of us. At this time, I would ask you to take a moment and fill out the ritual friendship card, please, in the back of the pews. I know we say it all the time, but they really are a very wonderful way of communicating with Reverend Chris and Jackie, and so it's very much appreciated. I do want to just touch on a few announcements on the back of your bulletin. Of course, as always, Reverend Chris's office hours are listed there, and our workday will be Tuesday from 9 to noon. Always extra hands are needed. The Last Supper video is on the church homepage, and if you want a CD to hear it, please contact Reverend Chris. Our youth groups will be meeting today until 3 o'clock, and our new membership class is beginning April 24th. If you want to join the class or know someone who does, please let Reverend Chris know as soon as possible. Also, the Divine Dessert Competition next Sunday, April 24th. Janice, do you want to say anything about that, or...? Thank you, Janice, and thank you for all that you do. Okay, are there any other announcements that I may have overlooked?
Okay.
Yes.
Choir Thursday night, 15:00.
Thank you, Wanda. Any others? Roxanne. Thank you, Roxanne. Any others? Ken. Oh, it's a DVD. Great. Awesome. Okay, great. Thank you very much. So you can get a DVD of it. That's perfect. Any others? Wonderful. Okay, at this time, the community comes together to serve God in worship. Our processional hymn in the Brown Hymnal is number 98, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thank you. our call to worship is a responsive reading, so if you would turn to the inside of your bulletin, please. For God alone we wait in silence, and our hope is from Him. God rests our deliverance and our honor. Let us bow for the invocation followed by the Lord's Prayer, please. We confess, dear Lord, that our perception is too confined. Our viewpoint is too narrow. Our sense of reality is too limited. Open our eyes and hearts to the unseen world that surrounds us, to the spiritual realities that we are often too preoccupied to see, to the dimension of life that our natural senses cannot perceive, to the presence of the Christ who walks beside us daily. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. This time the community comes together to share tithes and offerings. As we present our gifts, let us remember that our sacrifices are vain if they do not come from loving hearts. Our offertory hymn is in the brown hymnal, number 16, Tell Me the Old, Old Story.
Thank you. sacrifice of money, but also sacrifice of Christ and loving compliment. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, the community proclaims the Word of God. Our scriptural reading this morning will be one of many people's favorite psalms, Psalm 23, and that's found on page 501 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord. At this time, our anthem from the sanctuary choir will be Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul.
During the Second World War, when it was hard for President Roosevelt to travel among the troops because of his disability, First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt took his place, and she became quite a favorite with the soldiers around the world. She sent cables and letters back to FDR, becoming his eyes and his ears. On one such trip in the Pacific Theater, she spent an evening talking to a group of soldiers and later told her husband there was only one thought on all their minds, the desire to finish the battle so that they could go home. That's how we should feel about heaven. We're deployed on planet Earth, but it's only a temporary assignment. Goodness and mercy will surely follow God's children all the days of their lives, but what we're really anticipating is dwelling in the house of the Lord forever.
Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville this beautiful Sunday morning. It is amazing to think of a difference a week makes. Yesterday, I was at my son and daughter's soccer games. It was a perfect day, and the week before, they had to cancel because of snow, and I talked with Sonny about last week. It was the Laurel View Spring Retreat, but it was more like the Laurel View Winter Retreat, for those of you who had to endure it. But I hear you had a wonderful time. It's good to see you back. And others who have come out now that the weather is warm, good to see everyone today. As we gather this morning, we celebrate the gifts of God for the people of God, the gifts of mercy and grace, forgiveness and love. And we recognize also that all people are the people of God, but we give thanks for those who recognize what God has done for them, and who have taken time out of their week to give thanks, as thanks is appropriate. So let's begin by continuing to give thanks. What good news has happened to you this week? What joys do you have to share? We will do concerns in a few moments, but what joys do we have to share this morning? Peggy? We give thanks for Peggy's shoulder surgery. It's successful. I mentioned to her earlier this week, it's always a gamble when Peggy gets surgery. You never know what's going to happen. So it's gone very well. We give thanks for your successful shoulder surgery. Sonny? And is that more than normal for you? Good news. Wonderful things happening at Camp Laurel View. Keep up the good work. Thank you for sharing that. Teresa? Do you absolutely hate your neighbor's tree, or do you absolutely hate your neighbor? All right. We give thanks for trees in bloom. Yes, it's a wonderful time of year for that. Mike? We do give thanks that your father is home from the hospital. We give thanks that he listened to his wife, as she pointed out, and got to the hospital in quick order and was able to take care of his problems. He seems to be doing well. We give thanks for his care. Pray for his recovery. Let's continue with Thanksgiving so we can also list up concerns as well. Jesse, did you have one? Praise God. It's good to see you. Jessie's also going to be preaching in a few churches to share with her story coming soon. So we give thanks for your ability to share God's word with others. Sure. We mentioned last week that Lena had passed out again. It's been a problem she's been having. And she was at Highlands. She's now at Harmon House, and I believe that this will probably be a long-term thing, and that is good in some ways, but obviously it's difficult for her as well. So let us pray for Lena and keep her in our thoughts and prayers. Anne. Pray for all those suffering from earthquakes, as you listed up. Thank you. Roxanne. for Arlene. Battling heart problems and possibly awaiting heart transplant. We'll pray for her. Sonny? Prayers and all those who did survive or who've been left behind, we'll pray for them. Thank you for sharing that this morning. Seeing none other, let's now take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. O God of signs and wonders, breathe new life into us this day, that our spirits may awaken to the joy and the hope of our glorious inheritance through the living Christ. Clear our vision, Holy One, that we may see the promise of Easter in the stirrings of this precious earth and in the life energy flowing through our bodies. Help us, Lord, find the faith to believe what we have not seen, that others may see, and our living and our loving, the glory of the risen Christ. We give thanks for the witness of the Scriptures that teach us of His good and glorious love, of His complete and total resurrection, of His promise of eternal life, and the place that He has prepared for us from the beginning of the earth. So we rejoice in all things, in all times, in all places. Good news that is shared and proclaimed today, and the good news that is happening in our lives. That Peggy's shoulder is doing well and recovering. That 75 kids came to enjoy the beauty of Camp Laurel View, even though it was not a beautiful day. Because you were there, it was a beautiful weekend. And now we celebrate in the blooming of the spring, where signs of your resurrection are all around. We give thanks for each tree and flower and bud that is blooming to remind us that life continues on. We give thanks that Cliff is home from the hospital, cared well by his doctors, surrounded by his family. We pray for his full and complete recovery. We give thanks that Jesse is well and with us today, and soon we'll go to other churches to share your good news of all that she has seen and done and the ways in which you have touched the lives throughout this world. We give thanks for all that is happening and know that there is still more to come, and all that we experience, the joy and wonder in this world, is but a glimpse of the eternal joy you offer for each of us. But help us, Lord, also as we mourn, as we grieve, and as we experience the pains of this world. For the pain of sickness and disease, we pray. For all those who suffer, that they may know a healing, that their souls may be well, even as their bodies ache. We pray for Lena as she moves into Harmon House, and we give you thanks for the care she's received. We pray that having around-the-clock care will help her physically. We pray also, Lord, for her spiritually, for we know that she will miss her home and the comforts of home. Help her to make a new home where she is, to know that you are with her in all places and that we are united with her in prayer wherever she is as well. We pray for Arlene as she has battled so much, and we pray as the doctors continue to care for her. If she becomes a part of the transplant list, we pray that her prayers will be answered soon. May she have you in her heart and know that you will always be there no matter which heart she has. We pray also for those who have passed away, for those for whom We mourn the passing and knew and even those that we did not. In particular, we lift up those who died in the tragic fire. We pray that they are with you above all pain, and that gives hope to the family members and friends who are still here and who are bereaved in the midst of this terrible loss. As we pray for those who have lost near us, we pray for those who have lost afar as well. As we've seen in the news, the earthquakes taking place in Japan and Ecuador and other places throughout the world, we pray that each person affected by the tragedy may turn to you to find hope and healing, direction and guidance. And we give thanks for those who reach out to help, to know that they are doing your work, being your arms and hands in this world. We pray these things, Lord, as your family and as your church. Help us to see that this is just not just something we do 1 hour a week, but something we do every day. Represent you in this world. Reach out in your goodness and mercy in this world. Feed one another and share your good news. For the kingdom of heaven is near anytime. Two or three are gathered in your name anytime. We help the least of these anytime we gather together to pray. Hear our prayers this morning, O Lord. Hear our prayers every day. Now and forevermore we pray. Amen. The children come forward for the junior sermon.
Well done, everybody. How's everyone today? It's a beautiful day, isn't it? Well, listen, I know, yeah, you are going to have a good time with the junior youth group going bowling today. Well, I want to tell you something, though, that doesn't make me very happy. My TV broke. My TV broke. Isn't it like the saddest story you've ever heard? Now, it gets worse, because I have this thing called a warranty, which is a very good thing. It says that if your TV breaks, we will replace it. Isn't that awesome? Except, we bought the TV 5 years ago, and the warranty is only for 3 years. Yeah, you've been there. Isn't that terrible? So it doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good. Now, also, I bought a hammer recently, and it comes with a guarantee. The guarantee is that if the hammer breaks, no matter when, and it could be 10 years from now, they'll replace it. Isn't that great? What if I lose it? As I often do. I'm out of luck. I don't lose everything, but I lose a lot of things. What if someone steals my hammer? Will they replace it? Uh-uh. What if I leave it out in the rain and it rusts? Will they replace it? So, on the one hand, the guarantee is good. There are specific instances where this guarantee will come in handy. But there are many, many more in which it will not. Also, I have a thing called insurance. Insurance is a very good thing. It insures the things that you have in case it's broken, right? So I have a car, and I have used my insurance a lot in the last couple years, right? I had a couple accidents, and I didn't have to pay for them myself. Now, the way it's supposed to work, too, is that other people are supposed to have it, too, right? Well, this woman last year ran into me, and she showed me her insurance card, and we called the insurance company, and it turns out she didn't pay her insurance. So then I had to pay for it. Okay? So there are a lot of things in this world that are guaranteed, but when you really look into it, they're not. There are a lot of things in this world that are insured, but when you look into it, there's a thing called fine print. Have you ever seen the fine print on stuff? It goes on and on. You know why it's fine print? One, they don't really want you to see it. And two, there's so much of it, they got to make it really small to fit on the ad or the commercial or what have you. The fact of the matter is, nothing in this world is guaranteed. Right? Nothing's guaranteed. So you got to, one, enjoy everything as it comes. Right? Make the most of it. Make the most of each day. Make the most of every opportunity. And enjoy everything. Do you guys have toys? Do you have a lot of toys? Do you ever turn to your parents and say, there's nothing to do. I'm bored. Yeah, I'm actually with imitating you. Exactly. All right. Should you do that? Because there are a lot of people who don't have as many toys as you do and don't have as much stuff as you do. You should not, what's called, take for granted. Okay? Your toy could break. And then you'll be really upset. You could lose your toy. And then you're really going to miss that toy. Have you ever had the experience where you haven't played with a toy for a year? Mom and Dad said, let's give this toy to Susie down the street. And then all of a sudden, it's the most important ever had. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, we call it taking for granted, okay? Now, all of this is to say that there is one thing we shouldn't take for granted because there is one thing that is guaranteed. Okay? God's love! Yes! You talk a lot, but you do listen sometimes. Yes! God's love for us is guaranteed. You know how God guaranteed his love for us? You know the Bible verse? God sent his only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not die, but have eternal life. Okay? Who's God's Son? Yes, Jesus. Jesus, right there. And he died for us so that we could have a lot of toys. No? He died for us so that my hammer will not break. He died for us so that if my TV breaks, he will replace it free of charge. Is it better than that? What? You seem to know what it is. What is it? That we can have eternal life. Right? That we will be with him in heaven forever, which is even better than an eternal television. Right? Or an unbreakable hammer. That is God's guarantee for us. And there's no fine print. There's no exceptions. There's no catch. Okay? But the one thing I want to say to you is, don't take it for granted. Okay? I mean, it has been granted to us, but what I mean to say is, sometimes we forget about it. Sometimes we don't think it's that important. Sometimes we become more focused with other things, temporary things, like how much candy we have, or whether or not our TV works, okay? This is a gift that we have that we should always celebrate. Your favorite toy breaks? That's sad, but God still loves us. Your hammer breaks? Well, actually, if it breaks, you can get a new one. But you lose your hammer? That's sad. God still loves you. What would you be sad if you lost? Your phone? Oh, yes. Yeah, that's not guaranteed. Your phone gets dropped in water? God still loves you. Oh, your Kindle breaks, right? God still loves you. And that does have a guarantee, but I don't know. Don't test it, okay? What did you say? Your cats. And that would be very sad, but it is good to know that God still loves you. Yes. All right, last one. All right, all the video games that you own, right. That would be sad, but God still loves you. Okay? Thank you. I think you lost a video game. Thank you for listening. You guys can go to your class now. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. And that can be found in the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible on page 104. John writes, "At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered, 'I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. For the Father and I are one.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week during the community meditation, I talked a little bit about baseball and the beauty of the way the game is designed. And this week, as I was looking over the lectionary, which is a selection of passages that churches tend to follow and preach from, the passage for this week was the 23rd Psalm that Jane read for us. And I enjoyed that because it reminds me very much of the game of baseball. So I thought I would continue on that theme. For this past week was a buzz with the opening and the excitement of opening day for baseball. Few sports capture our imagination the way baseball does for many reasons. It is one of the oldest of the sports. It's one of the most American of sports. It takes place right at the beginning of spring. So it's this great sign that spring is here. It's also something universally poetic and appealing about a game whose main purpose is coming home. The batter is part of a team, a family, but at the plate, he is all alone. You know, in the hymn, you have to walk the lonesome valley. Nobody can walk it for you. You have to go on your own. And as we as Christians are part of a family, part of a church, but ultimately it's us and God at the end of the inning, so to speak. The batter has all the cheers and the support of his friends and teammates, but in the end he succeeds or he fails on his own. And when he gets a hit, he travels the field in enemy territory, so to speak, always afraid of getting thrown out. He gets by because along the way there are oases of hospitality, the bases, all three of them. And because of the help he gets from the coaches along the way, the base coaches who give him the signals and signs and give him advice on how to run back and forth and when to go and when to stay. If all goes well, finally the prodigal son returns to home and everyone cheers. How much is that like our life? We are part of a family. It is safe and it is secure, but at some point we must go out into the world. And we have all the support of family and friends and church members and those whom we know, and yet we succeed or we fail on our own merits. We face each challenge hoping not to succumb to the difficulties that life throws our way. With the help of others, we do succeed. And whenever you come home, people might not get on their feet and give you a standing ovation. They may not cheer, but they are just as happy to see you safe at home as they are for a baseball player. With baseball being such an iconic sport, perhaps if the 23rd Psalm were written today, and perhaps it were written in an American context, it might read, "The Lord is my base coach. I will not be thrown out coming home." But of course, we know that it wasn't. We know that it was written many, many years before, written in the days of King David, written in a foreign land, long before the sport had ever been invented or known to anyone. It is quite possibly the most famous of the Psalms. Well, it is the most famous of the Psalms. It is quite possibly the most famous, well-known six verses of Scripture there are in the Bible. It's comforting words evoking God as a shepherd guiding each one of us, God's sheep, into bucolic fields. Spring. I always think of spring when I hear it. Not winter, not the end of fall, but when the fields are at their most verdant, keeping us safe from harm and in many of life's difficult circumstances. Its brevity makes it an easy passage to remember. In those days, when David was king, the shepherd was just about the most common job available. It was common, and just about anybody could become a shepherd. It doesn't mean that the job was easy, but it means that it was available for many people. In fact, it was also just about the most important job there was, for livestock were so essential for so many things. In fact, a person's wealth then was often measured by how much livestock they owned. Today, we might look at our portfolios, our bank accounts, but then it was their flock. We see that in the book of Job. Job was accounted as a wealthy man, not because of how much money he had, but because of how many oxen he had and how many sheep he had. And we see that throughout the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The shepherd, therefore, was entrusted with keeping his master's wealth intact. The book of Job tells us that Job had 7,000 sheep. So not only was he wealthy because he had all the sheep, but there was no way that he could take care and herd, and keep track, and feed 7,000 sheep. Therefore, he had to have many, many shepherds in his employ. They were very important to him. Managing a herd of sheep is a lot harder than managing a portfolio or handling investments. You can have one person take care of that. One person could take care of $1 million. Perhaps 100 people were needed to take care of 7,000 sheep. He had to care for the sheep. He had to feed the sheep, or at least lead them to where they could eat and drink. He had to guide them, and he had to bring them safely home each day. Because of this, Psalm 23 is often read when we go to our final home. At funerals, it is the perfect passage to illustrate the feeling of going to our eternal home, our eternal resting place, the room that God has prepared in his mansion. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, Jesus says. I go to prepare a place for you. If this were not true, would I have said that I go to prepare a place for you? Oftentimes, those passages, one from the Gospel of John and one from the 23rd Psalm, I read them at funerals. It may be that the 23rd Psalm is read in funeral homes more than it is in churches. But as powerful as the Psalm is for crossing over from this life to the next, it's actually even more powerful to us in this life. For if the Lord is our shepherd, then we shall not want. We will lie down in green pastures, lie beside the still waters, be led in right paths for his name's sake. And no matter how dark or daunting life becomes, we shall fear no evil. Now, in some ways, this is a paean to the afterlife. But mostly, the 23rd Psalm is written for us in this life. For we will feel this peace and comfort because we will know that the Lord prepares a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. And because of this, goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord our whole life long. Not the next life, eternal life, but this life. So clearly then, this is a passage about this life, even as it also has implications for the next. Look at the last two sentences. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. These are words of great faith. For even in the darkest times, we will dwell in the house of the Lord. It doesn't always feel that way. Most of the time, it doesn't feel that way. But if we believe, it will be a great comfort to us. Even when we are weak and alone and lost, still we dwell in the house of the Lord. Let's think about that. Sheep go wherever the shepherd leads them, knowing that his rod will keep them safe, I guess instinctively trusting that his staff will keep them from being lost. If God God is our shepherd, then life placed in God's trust is like being home even in the darkest, farthest places. Or at least trusting that wherever we go and wherever we end up, in the end, all will be well. It's sort of like carrying a bit of home with us wherever we go. When I lived in Puerto Rico, it was by far the furthest away from home I had ever been. I was 20. And I lived there for 4 months. And the culture was very different and often led me feeling lost. But I knew that one day I would go home. And that knowledge that I would eventually return to the comforts of home turned what could have been a strange and alien land into a wonderful and exciting adventure. Because I knew that no matter how far I traveled, all roads eventually led to home, and I knew that God was with me. As the Israelites wandered, not for 4 months, but for 40 years, in the desert, the Lord provided all that they needed: water for their thirst, manna from heaven, and quails for their hunger. And though it was a long and difficult journey, they encountered many troubles along the way, still the Lord led them home to the promised land. That is the theme throughout the Old Testament. That is the theme for the Jewish people as they have gone through first the Exodus, then exile. In between a thing called the diaspora, the scattering, the Jewish people throughout the Middle East, throughout the Roman Empire, but always feeling that the land of Israel was home, and believing that one way or another God would lead them back. It is a powerful, powerful image. It begins very early in the Old Testament and runs throughout the New, and is with us still today and touches us very deeply, even in areas that are not so obviously religious or Christian. A few years ago, the All-Star Game was held in Pittsburgh. And I remember the game. It was very exciting because it was here and we all watched it. And I remember that the National League took the lead when Carlos Beltran hit a single. So that's it, just a single. It gets him safely to first. But it wasn't the single that caused him to take the lead. Afterwards, the runner on second tried to steal third. He was not successful. He got thrown out. But in the catch and play, in the mix-up of it all, then Beltran stole second. So, one hit, one steal, halfway there, and yet the furthest away from home that he could possibly be. Now, on the next pitch, after getting a signal from his base coach, who was at that point his only companion and his only guide on his journey, he stole third. So after surviving the danger of striking out, grounding out, flying out, getting thrown out, he had gone as far as he possibly could go from home and now was only 90 feet away. So close, and yet so far. With all nine of his enemies now focused upon him, alone in enemy territory, he strayed slowly and cautiously from his only oasis of safety, which was third base. And when the catcher could not corral a wild pitch, he successfully stole home. After crossing the threshold of home, he was greeted with cheers and celebration from his teammates and fans, because he had come home safely and completely. And we can come home as well. Whether we travel 1,000 miles from home or just 90 feet, for each of us we must go out into the world on our own to stand or fall on our own, but yet we are not ever on our own. For the Lord, like a shepherd, leads us home, and when we get there, a feast awaits us. And yet, because we know this, it is as if we carry a little piece of home with us wherever we go. Whether you're on first, second, third base in your life, wherever you are, God is with you. The kingdom is with you. The promise of home you carry with you. And if we get lost, we know that God will put us back on track. We know that if we hunger, God will provide a feast. We know that if we feel alone, God will give us signals and signs that will keep us safe and tell us when to go and when to stay. If we trust the Lord and listen to Him, if we understand His signals, we will come home. The Lord is our shepherd or our base coach. We will fear no evil, no darkness, no predator, nor enemy, no wild pitch, nor fastball. In fact, if we know that if we let the Lord guide us, no matter where we travel in life, we will inevitably find our way to the home that God has prepared for us. For how can we fear anything in this life? So let us not save the 23rd Psalm for funerals only. Yes, it is a great comfort then, but it should be a great comfort for us every day in this life. Let us instead read the Psalm anytime you find yourself worried or afraid or just a little homesick. Heed its words. You will always be safe. Heed its words. You will always be home. Amen. Now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is in the Brown Hill, number 601, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
I don't have a lot of experience, or really any experience, with sheep, but I did work at a farm and I herded cows, and I bet cows are not much smarter than sheep. Although they could probably put this microphone on. They're not very smart. And the job, the first thing to do at the farm when I got there was to herd the cows, to go find them in the field and to get them together, and I had a lot of things to help me. There were a lot of fences that would guide them and keep them in place.
There was the enticement of food and drink, also the enticement of milking. They all wanted to be milked, to be relieved of the milk they had. I also had yelling and rocks. Lots and lots of rocks. And I had to be careful where I threw the rocks. You know, I didn't want to hurt the cows, but I wanted them to move. And I didn't have a lot of patience. And I mention this simply to say that I'm glad that, you know, rocks are not the method that God uses to get us to go where we need to go. My staff comforts me. His crook, the shepherd's crook, guides us. His love and his mercy, his teachings, are what we have been left with to get where we need to go, that he may lead us home. The fact of the matter is I would get impatient with the cows all the time because they just wouldn't do what I wanted them to do, and I would get frustrated, and I bet God does too. How often are we supposed to go here, but we go there? How often are we supposed to move forward, but we go back? How often are we supposed to go anywhere, but we stand still? But always, the instruments of the Lord are love, mercy, compassion, generosity, grace. It's important that we find our way to this table as often as possible, not because it is necessary that we find our way home. God's grace is available at all times and places, but because it reminds us of what awaits us when we make it home. It reminds us of why we continue to have our faith and keep our faith, because it is not just an enticement for the future, but a comfort for now, a guide for now, an inspiration for now. And because it reminds us of the nature of our God, the nature of our shepherd, the one who leads us with love, even going so far as to give his only son, that we may go home to the place that he has prepared. As we share in this meal this morning, let us give thanks that the instruments of God are always love, and the place that he leads us to is beyond our imagining. And now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, hear our prayers. We pray for so many things this morning. We pray for the people in Japan and in Ecuador. We pray for the people in Pittsburgh. We pray for ourselves. We know that no matter how many prayers we have, how many hundreds and millions of us there are that believe so much in you, that you will hear our prayer and that you will do your best to answer our prayers. And we will listen with love and with assurance that no matter how hard the road gets, it always gets a little better when we know you are in our court. In your name we pray. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me. Then on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it. And said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And the same manner he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he poured it out. And said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." As often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. So he comes.
Thank you.
And now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing the invitational hymn, which is number 470 in the Brown Hymnal, "Are Ye Able," said the Master, verses 1 and 3. Let us stand as we sing. Bow our heads for the benediction. I would just like to remind you to bring your sweet tooth next Sunday and bring your neighbors and their sweet tooth as well for the Divine Desserts competition that will take place after the service. I also would like to remind you that just because it's spring doesn't mean that pumpkin is out of style. So, something to consider. Now let us bow our heads for the benediction. Through Christ, God has given us new birth into a living hope. For God has given us an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, an inheritance protected by the power of God. Rejoice, therefore, even for a while we suffer various trials. For life is stronger than death, love is stronger than hate, joy is stronger than sorrow, and the promises of God are sure. Amen.